Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest is best-selling author Joel Rosenberg. He has another new book. I know you're not surprised because this guy is so prolific. He turns out wonderful best-selling books one after another. This one is titled Without Warning. And Joel, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you.
Now, this story follows J.B. Collins, New York Times foreign correspondent, as he attempts to convince the President of the United States of the possible imminent catastrophic attack inside the American homeland if an all-out manhunt to capture or kill Abu Khalif, the leader of ISIS, is not conducted immediately. Do you really think ISIS is a threat, Joel?
It's a very serious threat, and what's interesting is that the events that have that are unfolding for us right now in real life are not that dissimilar from the fictional account that I lay out in Without Warning. Now, just to put some context in it, Jim, I began writing this series in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a three-novel series about this New York Times correspondent, as you say, who hears a rumor that the Islamic State has captured chemical weapons in Syria and is planning a series of catastrophic, even genocidal attacks. And so that's how the story begins. Now, remember, back then, very few Americans had heard of ISIS.
Right.
And by January of 2014, President Obama told us that they were not a real threat, that they were a JV squad.
Exactly.
But by the summer of 2014, ISIS had captured 40% of Iraq, had captured the second largest city in Iraq, Mosul, which is what we know as ancient Nineveh, and was beginning the process of systematically committing genocide against Christians in Syria and Iraq, against Yazidis, and against Shia Muslims. So all that to say, here I was writing a novel series about how this group that used to be called Al-Qaeda in Iraq would become genocidal, and I was doing that as a novelist with no access to classified information. The President of the United States, with all the resources of our 17 intelligence agencies, decided this was not a serious problem. Now, even as we, so where are we today? Today, we're in a position where it's true that we are making a lot of progress on the ground, finally, in Iraq. We are systematically taking Mosul back, block by block, from ISIS. And I think that by the end of 2017, we will very likely be able to say that Iraq has been liberated once again, in this time, from ISIS. That's good. However, in the novel, Without Warning, the new one that just came out, that, again, I was ahead of it, but the president has liberated Iraq.
Yep.
But he concludes that, therefore, we have won. And the reporter is saying, no, you're making progress, but this is not winning, because these foreign fighters are leaving Iraq as they've lost ground. They're redeploying with their foreign passports in Europe, in the United States, and they're preparing to come and attack inside the United States. And I think that the life is mirroring this novel, and I'm not predicting it will happen, but I think that the threat level actually has increased to us of ISIS trying to pull off major attacks inside the United States.
Well, in fact, recently, of course, there were the attacks in St. Petersburg, Russia, and we don't know what the final outcome on all of that will be, but we do know that ISIS immediately claimed credit for that, and I think it is safe to say people who have their worldview are not going to just give up and say, okay, I guess our plan didn't work. They will continue to fight to the death.
Well, that's right. Now, a few weeks ago, when I was just beginning the Without Warning book tour, I was in Washington, and I sat down with the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in Congress, a congressman from Texas, Mike McCaul. And I gave him a copy of Without Warning, and we had a good conversation. But I said, would you give me a briefing? Do you think we're winning the war against ISIS? And he said, well, that's a complicated question. Yes, we're taking ground, we're making progress, but no, he said he did not believe that. And this is an interesting and actually a very sobering statistic. He said that in 2016 alone, 37 people were arrested in the United States for plotting ISIS attacks. 37. That's three a month. Now, if you think about that, the reason we haven't heard about things worse, I mean, we've had the attacks in Orlando, San Bernardino,
right.
A few years ago in Boston and others, but the fact that we haven't had 37 attacks just last year alone was because we arrested these people. It didn't mean that they weren't coming. It meant that we got them. And I think that's what's the danger, is that if you've got three federal judges right now who think this is, apparently they don't think it's much of a problem. For the Hawaiian, Washington, and Maryland judges are saying that the commander-in-chief doesn't apparently have the right constitutionally to restrict immigration from countries consumed by terrorism,
right,
just to take a few months to make sure that our vetting procedures are better, are good enough to make sure we're not in danger. That tells me there's a worldview gulf between some liberals who just do not see this as a serious threat and others who say it's a huge threat.
Right.
And the only reason that we haven't had Paris type attacks and Moscow and or St. Petersburg and others is because we happened to arrest these people last year, but aren't there more of them?
Yes. Well, I have appreciated not only the fact that you write very well, but that you do seem to be ahead of the curve, writing a fictional account that is true to life and often lived out in current events shortly after your books come out.
We say God forbid on that in terms of this particular novel, but I guess there is a sense that people have been curious. I mean, this feels awful, awful realistic.
Yeah. And again, I think in the midst of your book, there's not just an informed perspective concerning current events and world events, but there is a biblically informed worldview. And I appreciate the fact that your books consistently point people to transcendent truth concerning the God who is God and the ultimate conflict, which has been won already by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. And I think that, you know, one of the problems of our society is that there are too many Americans who have this sort of modern, sophisticated, 21st century elite view that the evil does not exist.
Yeah.
And we're overreacting to all this talk of people saying that they're going to come here and chop our heads off and blow up our society. Like, there are certain, I mean, if three liberal judges, what do? They actually didn't, their rulings didn't reflect the actual executive order of the president.
Right.
What they reflected was statements that he made during the campaign, which I think were horrible. The president said, we're going to ban all Muslims. Well, that was an unconstitutional, unproductive, actually counterproductive thing, and I think immoral thing to say. And the only good news is he's corrected himself.
Right.
He apologized for it, and he drew a executive order that said, okay, the question is specific countries where we don't have good vetting procedures, and he didn't put Indonesia on the list, the largest Muslim country in the world. He didn't put Jordan on the list. He didn't put Egypt on the list. It's seven countries, and then they even reduced it. They double-checked Iraq. They said, no, that does seem to be going better than we thought. Okay, it's only six countries. That, to say six countries has to take a four-month pause
right.
from being able to come into their country is totally rational in this environment. And for liberal judges who apparently just can't see this threat, but that's the theme. That's the theme of my novels, particularly Without Warning, which is to misunderstand the nature and threat of evil is to risk being blindsided by it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and that's the danger in our society, is that just like in December 1941, we were blindsided by an evil coming from Imperial Japan that we just didn't understand who the emperor was, what he believed, and how far he was willing to go to try to attack us with a massive sneak attack. On 9/11, we just didn't understand who Bin Laden was, what he believed, and how far he was willing to go to do a sneak attack against us. And the risk is, after those two, okay, shouldn't we tell ourselves, listen, there are people who actually want to devastate us. We have to take that seriously. There are those who don't, and unfortunately some of them are federal judges.
Right, and that is unfortunate. It seems to me, just as an aside, that there's a whole lot of stuff that a whole lot of federal judges don't understand, but that's for another time.
But look, when the president does things that are wrong, I'll criticize him. But when he does things that are right and that are common sense, I'm going to defend it as policy, and I think you've got people in the left, they just think that any effort by this president or others to protect us from radical Islamist terrorism is somehow, you know, politically incorrect and morally unwise. And I'm sorry, those folks are putting us in danger.
I agree. And again, your new book, Without Warning, is a warning. It is a wonderful, well-written, as always, opportunity for people not just to be entertained, but to be informed, to be alerted to the very perilous times in which we live. Now, your goal in your books is not ultimately that everybody everywhere would just be in a state of panic.
No.
the goal is that people would not just be entertained, but be informed and have a more realistic, honest worldview and understand the times in which we're living.
That's right. And I think one of the most remarkable vindications of that approach, and it was very encouraging to me, was that last year, Jordan's King Abdullah II, a Muslim monarch who is descended directly, his family is, from the Prophet Muhammad, he read one of my novels.
Wow.
Which involves ISIS trying to assassinate him and overthrow the kingdom of Jordan. And rather than ban me from his kingdom, he invited my wife and me to visit him and his generals for 5 days in Jordan last spring.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And so he was able to see in my novels that while there were radical Islamic terrorists in there, there were also Muslims, Jews, Christians who came together against a common enemy, even if they had theological differences, even if they had political differences, but they worked together to fight this evil of the Islamic State. And I have to tell you, that was the most fascinating week, I would say, of my life. Lynn and I had never met a king before. In fact, I will tell you, Jim, we brought him the copy of the first in the series, a novel called The Third Target. He had read the second in the series because somebody had given it to him. And I showed him while we were sitting having lunch with him in the palace, which was just surreal. And I said, Your Majesty, I brought you a copy of the first novel in the series, and can I just show you that the first sentence on the first page reads, I had never met a king before.
Wow.
He chuckled and he pulled out a pen and wrote, well, you have now.
That's
and then
great.
Signed his name and handed it back to me.
That is great.
It is amazing. And I think it shows that a Muslim king has now read two of these novels. And rather than being offended, he can see that my heart, at least, my effort is to help people understand the differences between Muslims who, as an evangelical, I would not agree with theologically,
right,
but with whom I think, well, this guy is a real ally. He has a peace treaty with Israel. Mm-hmm. The king has is the most faithful Sunni Arab ally the United States has. He's fighting ISIS. He's welcoming 1.3 million Muslim refugees and taking care of them, even though he doesn't have oil. He mm-hmm. doesn't have extra cash laying around. But he's just trying to be a good neighbor to people fleeing from this genocide. Mm. That's the and he's protecting Christians in the Kingdom of Jordan.
Yes.
And I think, wow, how do you even make up a character like him?
Yeah.
I actually name him in the book. He is not a made-up character like every other character mm-hmm. because I didn't know how to make him up.
Right.
He seems unreal.
Yeah.
He even is the former head of special forces in the Jordanian military.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to lead his nation in combat against terrorists. I'll tell you, we were so impressed with him from a distance. Now to spend several days with him, we had three different meetings with him, including a 2.5-hour Saturday night dinner at his private palace with just a few of his friends. It was so extraordinary, but it was just very encouraging, and it just, I think, again, like I said, I think it vindicated for me personally the sense that what I'm trying to do is actually being noticed and appreciated by readers of all kinds,
yes,
including a Muslim king.
That's marvelous. That's marvelous. Well, folks, the book is Without Warning. The author, Joel Rosenberg, is not just a good writer, but he is a good fellow by God's grace. His life has been transformed by grace, and I'm so grateful that he continues to turn out these books that are not, I mean, people find them as page turners. That's great. But it's more than that.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the current one, Without Warning, is debuted at number 6 on the New York Times bestseller list. And so you have a political thriller that has the gospel woven into it
mm-hmm.
that is on the New York Times list. I'm astounded that people are responding this positively to it, but it's an awful lot of fun to do, and I appreciate you having me on to discuss it.
You bet. Now, let me ask you about another situation, because, again, you're very knowledgeable about world events and world affairs. Andrew Brunson, our friend from Montreat, North Carolina, has been held prisoner by the Turkish government under very false charges. And I just wonder your perspective on what is going on currently in Turkey as a fellow like Andrew Brunson, who served there unmolested for well over a decade, I want to say 2 decades, but who has served there well and been respected and no trouble with the authorities, including the president of the country. I mean, he was a non-issue and doing good work. And then all of a sudden, he's now being treated as if he's a criminal.
Well, I don't know a lot of the details of his case, but like others who've been held in Iran and other places,
yes,
you have a situation where Christians, particularly in the Middle East, are being persecuted as really never before in the history of the world. I mean, it's certainly not in the history of Islam. Islam has had clashes with Christianity for sure, but we are seeing either genocide against Christians in Syria and Iraq or tremendous persecution in Iran, Turkey, and elsewhere. And Turkey, unfortunately, is a NATO ally that is going to the dark side.
Absolutely.
You really are watching President Erdogan shifting. He is an Islamist, meaning he's not just a Muslim, but he's a Muslim who believes in creating a tyrannical system. His political ideology is what's known as Islamist. He wants to impose this Islamic tyranny on Turkey. Now, Turkey has been the model of tolerance and moderation as a Muslim country since the fall of the Ottoman Empire and the Caliphate back in the early 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
So for almost 100 years, Turkey has been the model of, wow, okay, a Muslim country can really reform and be a beacon of freedom and opportunity and a NATO ally.
Right.
But Erdogan is becoming not just an Islamist, but a violent Islamist.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed tens of thousands of foreign fighters to cross through Turkey to get to the Syrian and Iraqi battlefields to join ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm deeply concerned about where Turkey is going, and we need to be praying for a country that the Apostle Paul reached with the gospel of Jesus and now is oppressing the gospel and increasingly, and it's a real problem.
Well, Joel, again, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast and talking with us today. We are excited about the new book, Without Warning, and I know that your fans, if they haven't already run out to get a copy, are going to want to do that. So we thank you very much for what you do, and I hope as you think of us, you'll pray for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much, and it's great to be with you.
Thanks, Joel.
Bless you.
And you. Folks, Joel and I were just discussing the situation there in Turkey, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to pray for Andrew Brunson and his family. He is a dear brother in Christ. I grew up in Montreat, and we have many friends in common. Our good friends at the American Center for Law and Justice are defending him. And I would just ask you to pray for their success as they seek to represent him and work behind the scenes to try and influence folks in our government to try and impact through international channels the situation for Andrew Brunson. Obviously, all the effort by the ACLJ, and it's good work that they do, but all of that pales in comparison to the almighty power of God. And as I've prayed for Andrew Brunson, I've been reminded of Peter, who was awaiting likely death in a jail there in Jerusalem a long, long time ago. And during the night, as he was guarded by four soldiers, an angel came into the cell where he was and caused the chains to fall off, caused the door to swing open, and led Peter right out from there. Now, the four soldiers who were supposed to be guarding him were executed the next day because the king didn't like one little bit the fact that Peter, his prisoner, had gotten away. But God is able to free Andrew Brunson by supernatural means, if necessary. But I would ask you to pray, as one of our mutual friends said, my friend Andrew Brunson is right where God wants him. And it's hard for us to keep that perspective, that when someone's being persecuted for their faith, and Andrew is being persecuted, he's not just imprisoned, he's imprisoned in a horrible, hellacious prison, and cut off from his family, cut off from his friends, not just cut off from comfort, but cut off from basic essentials. And this, of course, at the word of one of our NATO allies. That's an intolerable situation. And I would ask you just to pray, if you would, pray for Andrew Brunson. Pray that God will use him there and use him to be a powerful, powerful witness for Christ all over the world. Another good friend of mine who's now in heaven, Kenneth Foreman, was a prisoner of the Communist Chinese for 3 years, spent one of those years in solitary confinement. And I would never want anybody I love to go through that. But I must tell you that God used that in Kenneth's life, in his family, in his ministry. And the fact of the matter is God is on the throne even when bad people are doing bad things. So we need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to be on guard, but we better be giving praise and thanks to our God who reigns forever and ever. Jesus Christ is Lord, and I want you to remember that whether you're reading Joel Rosenberg's books or whether you are on your knees with your Bible or whether you're in a doctor's office or whether you're doing your taxes, whatever's going on in your life, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. And give him thanks and praise for the wonderful grace that he has shown us. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. You have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make. I want to invite our listeners to call 866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866
866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at WVR.org.